As I mentioned, Larry Weber is still at an undisclosed location. He goes into, I don't know, witness protection about this time every year. And Sparky Stensis is our special guest star. He is the executive director at the Friends of the Sacs-Zimbogue Welcome Center. And as I mentioned when we talked to Clinton a minute ago, the photographs that are coming out of the bog, I'm so envious. People are seeing all kinds of wonderful little, I think I've seen pictures of pine martens. I may have seen pictures of porcupines and, of course, owls and grouse and, oh, all kinds of wonderful stuff. Tell us what's going on up there, Sparky. It sounds like spring is springing up there.
Well, it's starting, you know, I was looking at some old records. I've been keeping phenology records since I moved here in 1981. And I just looked through one of my journals, and the first, you know, Laker going out of Duluth under the lift bridge, you know, 1997, it was March 20th, 1999, March 17th, 2001, March 17th, 2002, March 21st. That's probably not going to happen this year. I mean, in a year where we've had how many days below freezing in a row?
58.
58, which puts us,
it was,
you know, in
58.
Fifth longest ever. Tons of snow, 40-plus days below zero.
Yeah.
Superior frozen over. But, amazingly, there are signs of spring out there. Up at the bog, one of the interesting things I saw the last, I think, 3-4 days ago was our northern hawk owl that we don't really know where they come from. Maybe they nest in the area. Maybe they're coming down from Canada. But he was singing up a storm, and to see a hawk owl sing is pretty cool. They just kind of get their body vertical, stretch out their neck, and do this real rapid tooting call.
You know, and we don't really think about owls. I mean, we think about them being, you know, sort of mysterious and saying, hoo, hoo. But yeah, we don't really think about them making some kind of a territorial, production about territory, or, hey, baby, I love you.
Yeah, we call it owl calls or calling, but
still,
they really, you know, in a lot of the calls are singing. You know, the barred owls, who cooks for you, is
that's
singing,
cool,
really, because it's defending territory, attracting a mate. So that hawk owl, and he's been in the same spot for 2.5 months, but, you know, is he going to find a mate? We don't know. Maybe he'll have to go back north. Other things are happening. We saw gray jays up there. Now they're called Canada jays. They've changed their name officially to Canada jay. They've been breaking. We saw a couple breaking off twigs, little tamarack twigs, because they're going to be nesting now. They're a fascinating story. They're one of the earliest nesting songbirds. They'll build their nest this time of year. They'll be on eggs by late in the month, you know, when we can still have feet of snow on the ground. It can still get below zero.
Ooh, being a baby gray jay or a baby Canada jay. Ooh.
But they build these really big, bulky nests and line them with deer hair and moose hair. And, you know, these guys don't really migrate. So they're in their same territories year-round. They have to have a steady food supply if they're going to feed young at a frozen time of year. And so they'll, in the fall, they'll gather up food and make these little sticky pellets of food, and they'll chew them up. They have some of the largest saliva glands of any bird, and they'll stash it all over in the woods. So they have a steady supply, even though they're nesting this time of the year. Ravens are also starting to nest in the bog. They're claiming their nests from previous years or taking over an old hawk nest. But, you know, what's coming back north, you know, returning north. I looked, you know, around. I didn't see many, but down here in Carlton County, I did see snow buntings. And, yeah, we'd think of them as winter visitors, but this year with that deep snow, it kind of forced snow buntings and rough-legged hawks further south into southern Minnesota, Iowa. And now they're coming back as the snowpack gets more shallow. I saw a tom turkey out my window in full display, all puffed up. They're, you know, the males, they're red, wattles are getting more and more red. Their face skin is getting more and more blue. They're getting ready to mate. Other things that are happening, you know, we're going to see red-winged blackbirds.
Whoop.
And one of my
I'm sorry, lost you for just a second there, Sparky. Now you're back. All right, we're going to see red-winged blackbirds.
Soon. I was looking back at my journal, March 15th of 1990, they were already back to the Duluth area. This year, looking at eBird, which is another place you can check on migration, it looks like the bulk of them are still down in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, with a few sightings in Iowa and southern Minnesota. But, you know, they need the open swamps. And it's risky, right? These are the males that are coming back first. And they come back first because they want the best territory. They want a better territory than their rival neighbors. So the red-winged blackbird males have to come back and claim the center of the marsh, because that's the safest spot in the center of all those cattails. And so it's a risk, though, because, you know, high risk, high reward. You know, we probably will have an April snowstorm, and that is not easy to survive as a blackbird. There's lots happening. And one thing Glenn Clinton said is it's not just the warmth that triggers things. In mammals and birds, a lot of it is photoperiod. It's the length of day that triggers things. Think about the snowshoe hares and ermine that are white now. It's not, the snow's gone, I can turn brown again now. No, it's the length of day. And on average, it times out to where as the snow melts, they get browner and browner. So their camouflage remains effective. But some years, if we have late snow, you'll see brown snowshoe hares on top of white snow. So it's not perfect.
Not an exact science, that's for darn sure, but a lot to watch and look at. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, just in terms of the things that we have going on in our own yard, one of the things that I think Laura's talked about carefully is keeping your feeders clean. And I'm guessing with this rain that we've been getting and the snow melting off the top of the feeders and off the trees and maybe down onto the feeders, we need to be working hard at making sure that our feeders are clean going into this time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just dump them out and you could bring them in and wash them down. That's great, especially this time of year where you get that warm temps and rain and a chance of mold. That's a great idea. And keep them filled, I would say, until the bears come out. I mean, we're doing that in the bog. Like Clinton said, the Welcome Center is closed now, but we're keeping the feeders up for two or three more weeks. The bears come out in April usually, and probably this year, definitely in April. So we'll leave them out probably till April 1st. And so there's still a chance to see some of these visitors to the Arctic Riviera, which we call the bog. Things like red poles are still going to be coming to the feeders, evening grosbeaks, things like that. And the rough-legged hawks will be coming through again as well. So, definitely still stuff happening, still winter overlapping with spring. I know Larry calls fall and winter Otwin. Let's see, what would winter
Sprinter.
And spring be?
Sprinter.
A wing.
Or wing, yeah. Yeah.
But I did see one plant sign out there, the beaked hazel, the catkins are coming out. And the beaked hazels are one of the first plants to bloom, and they'll be blooming in the next week or so. And they just have tiny little red flowers that just peek out. And it's happening no matter what.
It's really exciting. And so now the Welcome Center is closed up at SACZIM now, or it's going. Oh, wait a minute.
No.
Today's the. It closed on the 10th, and today's the 5th. How'd that happen? How'd I lose a week?
But
the
bog is always open. I mean, you know, the bog is.
Well, the helpful people that are there that tell you kind of how to find things and stuff, that's why you go in the Welcome Center's there, because the helpful people teach you helpful things.
Well, we do have some exciting news in that Clinton is now year-round with us, and we're going to keep the Welcome Center. We're going to really do our best to have it open from every day from mid-May to mid-July. And we're going to have some awesome programs right in the heart of warbler migration. We have these Warbler Wednesdays. We're going to have waffles and warblers.
Oh, we're gonna have a, waffles and warblers.
We have this really cool thing called the Things That Go Buzz, Croak, Hoot, and Bump in the Night.
I love it.
I think the first weekend in May, and that's when a lot of stuff is happening at dusk. We're going to check out frogs and all the displays of snipe and woodcock and try and see some owls even. So we'll be birding from dusk into nighttime. Some cool things going to happen. But, yeah, we'll be open again. It's just it gets a little mucky up there in this transition season on those dirt roads.
You need to get the technology exists so that when people drive through the bog, you can tune your radio to a certain station, and then there just will be somebody talking you through, and you drive here, and you go here, and you do boo-boo-boo.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I know.
And you have a voice for radio.
I could absolutely do that for you and would in a heartbeat. Let's talk some more about these waffles. Anyway, we will be talking as the spring goes on to find out what's going on up there in the bog. And Sparky, thanks so very much for joining us this morning. What a treat to have you on the air with us.
Thanks, Lisa. Have a great day.
Sparky Stensis, our special guest star, sitting in for Larry Weber, who will return from his undisclosed location next week as our host of Backyard Almanac.